اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله، ربنا لا نحصي ثناء أن عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وارزقنا فهمه، وصلى الله على خير خلقه سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون، كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله، وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها، لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت، ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا، ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم آمين. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. On the most precious gifts of Iman, Islam, and being in the Ummah of Allah's Habib, Sayyiduna Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what an honor it is to be in this great Ummah, the best of nations, the completion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, of 70 great nations. Antum afdaluha wa akramuha ala Allah. You are the most virtuous and you are the most noble to Allah Ta'ala from all the major nations, followers of Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Ukhrijat lin-nas. You are the best of them all, for indeed you have been sent for the benefit of humanity. And what greater benefit can one human being be to another than being the means of that person's hidayat and guidance coming into the fold of Islam, and thereby being a means of saving a person and probably their progenies from eternity in the fire of Jahannam. The fadila and virtue of this ummah, antum al-awwalun, antum al-akhirun al-awwalun. Though you have come as the last major nation, followers of Anbiya alayhim as-salam, you are the last to come to this dunya. No other Nabi to come after our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the fundamentals of our belief is that to believe in the khatm nubuwa, that the chain of Anbiya alayhim as-salam concludes on our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore he is given the title Khatamun Nabiyyin, the last final, and the seal, the completion of the golden chain of Anbiya alayhim as-salam. So any belief that subscribes to belief in a Nabi or a rank to anyone, such as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a Nabi, or even more virtuous than a Nabi, that totally contradicts the verse of the Quran Azim. For example, there is a group called the Qadiani, or another name, the Ahmadiyya, who believe in a messenger after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that totally contradicts the verse of Quran Kareem and takes a person out of the fold of Islam. So we value and cherish the fact that Allah Ta'ala has guided us to believe in the way conveyed by Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, known as the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. the verses that we have recited, the concluding two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, is an amazing and extremely virtuous verses. You spend a few moments looking at the extreme virtue of these verses and also the context, the surah within which they come. They are the last two ayat, the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. They are the completion of a surah which in itself is extremely beneficial, the Surah Al-Baqarah, the lengthiest surah in the entire Quran Azim. The virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah as a surah in its entirety are many. Our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم مقابرة. Do not make your home like a graveyard, do not make your home like a qabrastan that is devoid of a'mal and actions. Bring your home alive with good deeds. And the usual circumstances when we have the honor of going to the house of Allah Ta'ala, the masjid, and we yearn and desire and shed tears and make fervent dua that Allah Ta'ala facilitates the means that the masajid are open and we are able to go to the masajid for the performance of salah, to have the honor of being the guest of Allah Ta'ala at least 5 times a day. So do not make your home a qabrastan, a graveyard. When we have the honor of going to masjid, then fill our home with nafal salah. Similarly, establish gatherings of ta'aleem, gatherings of dhikr of Allah Ta'ala in the home. Bring it alive with a'mal and actions. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives us one great means of bringing alive our home. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَفِرُّ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي تُقْرَأُ فِيهِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ. That shaitan runs away. Shaitan runs away from a home in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. Another narration gives us the added meaning that shaitan does not even dare enter the home in which Surah Al-Baqarah is read. About this great surah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةً وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةً. That reading it, holding steadfastly to it, understanding its meanings from the authentic tafsir, putting to practice, so holding steadfastly to the surah is a means of great barakat and blessings. وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةً. And that person who neglects it, does not read it, does not imbibe its meanings, etc., then that person will have severe remorse and regret. A further great benefit, one is we learn that a person is protected from shaitan, the evil of shayateen, jinn, ins. Furthermore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also says, لا يستطيعهما البطلة أو لا تستطيعهما البطلة. That those who practice black magic can never overpower Surah Al-Baqarah. It is so powerful that it defeats the evil effects of jadu, of sihr, of black magic. Similarly, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in mentioning collectively the virtue of Surah Al-Baqarah and the surah following it, Surah Ali Imran, these two, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the one who has a strong connection with these two surahs, reads them regularly, three things, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, they will come on the day of Qiyamah as two clouds, or as two shade coverings, or as two huge flocks of birds that will cast shade upon its reciter. And also, these two surahs will continuously, tuhajjani an sahibihima, that they will continuously beg and plead that person's case in the court of Allah until that person is forgiven, that person is given entry into Jannah. For indeed, the Quran itself interceding when it is Allah Ta'ala's kalam, it will definitely be accepted. Similarly, the last ruku' of Surah Ali Imran, while we are on the topic, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, to the end of the surah. So the last ruku of Surah Ali Imran themselves has great virtue, the entire last ruku. Our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak habit when waking up for tahajjud salah, then even before making wudu, looked at the sky and recited the last ruku, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ, to the ending, in which Allah Ta'ala implores us to contemplate and reflect on Allah Ta'ala's greatness through the means of His creation. These verses encourage us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that woe be to that person who reads these verses, last ruku of Surah Ali Imran, and does not seriously and sincerely contemplate these verses. So Surah Baqarah and Ali Imran collectively have a specific benefit. But now returning to specifically our lesson for today, the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, we have seen the abundant virtues of the Surah of Al-Baqarah itself. these last two verses, we know they were one of the special gifts given to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Mi'raj. The meaning is the great glad tidings conveyed in these verses. Furthermore, an incident that really emphasizes the great virtue of these two verses, last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once sitting with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. The incident is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhumah. So Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam was sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when suddenly they heard a loud sound from above. Jibreel alayhi salam raised his head and informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what was that sound. هَذَا بَابٌ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فُتِحَ لَمْ يُفْتَحْ قَطُّ إِلَّا الْيَوْمِ. That this was actually a door of the sky, of the heavens, that had been opened, and never before has it ever been opened. For the first time ever has this door been opened. For what has it been opened? He elaborates further. فَنَزَلَ مِنْهُ مَلَكٌ. That an angel has descended through this door. That angel also, هَذَا مَلَكٌ نَزَلَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ لَمْ يَنْزِلْ قَطُّ إِلَّا الْيَوْمِ. That special angel who has descended through that special door is the first time that that angel has ever come to earth. Prior to this has never ever come. So obviously that angel had come with a great purpose. The angel comes and makes salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salam. And the purpose for which this angel was sent to convey the following glad tidings, the angel said, Abshir binuraini. Addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, accept the glad tidings that you have been given two special lights, two special noors. Utitahuma lam yu'tahuma nabiyun qablak. Two special lights that you have been given, and no Nabi before you has ever been given such great lights, such great favors. So what are these two special favors that the angel had come to convey the glad tidings about? Fatihatil Kitab. One is Suratul Fatiha wa Khawatimi Suratul Baqarah. And second, the concluding verses of Suratul Baqarah. And at the same time, the virtue is mentioned by that angel, لَن تَقْرَأَ بِحَرْفٍ مِّنْهُمَا إِلَّا أُعْطِيتَهُ. That whenever you read these two verses, you will be given its full reward. Whatever you are asking, we will see that these surahs have great du'as in them, inshallah. So whatever you ask for by the means of these two verses, you will be granted. You will be given the reward of every letter recited. You will be granted in abundance. Furthermore, we learn in a further narration where, in the virtue of these two surahs, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, narrated by Sayyidina Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu an, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ كِتَابًا قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِأَلْفَيْ عَامٍ. That 2,000 years before Allah ta'ala created the skies and the earth, and we know Allah was always in existence, 2,000 years before that, Allah ta'ala wrote a special kitab. And from that, Allah ta'ala revealed, أَنْزَلَ مِنْهُ آيَتَيْنْ خَتَمَ بِهِمَا سُورَةَ الْبَقَرَةِ. From that time already, Allah ta'ala thereafter, from that great kitab, gave us as a gift two verses with which Allah has concluded Surah Al-Baqarah, the two ayahs that we are looking at today. لَا يُقْرَأَنِ فِي دَارٍ ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ فَيَقْرُبُهَا شَيْطَانٌ. And a virtue is mentioned at the same time, that whomsoever reads the last two ayat of Baqarah for 3 days in one's home, shaitan dares not even come near to such a home. So again, great protection from shaitan, physical as well as spiritual ailments, harms. Furthermore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in mentioning the virtue of this great verses, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَتَمَ سُورَةَ الْبَقَرَةِ. Allah ta'ala has concluded Surah Al-Baqarah with two such ayat, أَعْطَانِيهِمَا مِنْ كَنْزِهِ الَّذِي تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ. Allah has given me two such great gifts. And where do they emanate? Where do they come from? They come from the treasures which are below the throne of Allah Ta'ala. They come from those treasures that are right at the throne of Allah Ta'ala, just beneath the throne of Allah Ta'ala. We learn in another narration, مِنْ خَزَائِنِ الرَّحْمَةِ, that they emanate from Allah Ta'ala's treasures of special and abundant mercies. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself encourages us, فَتَعَلَّمُوهُنَّ وَعَلِّمُوهُنَّ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ. So when they are so great, learn them yourselves, learn them, try and commit to memory, understand the meanings from the authentic tafasir. So learn them yourselves and obviously put to practice. وعلموهن نساءكم وابناءكم. And not only yourself, make a concerted effort to teach it to your wives, to your spouses, to your children. Why? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that these two verses, one and at the same time, are three different things. فَإِنَّهُمَا صَلَاتٌ وَقُرْآنٌ وَدُعَاءٌ. They are a great worship of Allah Ta'ala. They are Quran, part and parcel of Quran Azim. But at the same time, they are great du'as that you are asking for by means of these verses. So learn them, teach them to your families. So these are some of the many, many other benefits mentioned. One hadith, final virtue that we look at, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the person who at night, so we try and make the habit of reading these verses at night, at home, after Isha, between then and before sleeping. Rasulullah says that the one who reads the concluding two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah at night time, kafatahu, they suffice for a person. Subhanallah, this one word kafata, they suffice for our deficiency in the remembrance of Allah, in acts of nafal ibadat. They may come for those deficiencies. They also suffice, as mentioned by those who elaborate hadith, the scholars of hadith, that they suffice for a person as a means of protection. They suffice as a means of protection from the evil of humans and the evil of jinn. They suffice as a protection from the evil of human beings and the evil of jinn. So these two great verses, and no wonder it is that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, both personalities whom Allah had blessed, great wisdom, depth and foresight, when looking at all of these virtues, what do they say? They say, we cannot fathom a person who has even a small amount of intellect. That person at night goes to sleep without reading these verses, they say that is inconceivable. That any person who has even a minimal amount of intelligence would understand and know the immense virtues and benefits of reading these two verses at night. It does not take up much time, so we try and make the habit, if we are not in it, to institute it, to read it with punctuality, to read it with yaqeen, with conviction. And so we go on now to look at the meanings of these two verses. So to summarize the verses of these two ayat, the nur, special nur, an angel had come to give the glad tidings. Every letter recited in it, we will be granted. Every dua made is guaranteed acceptance. Allah Ta'ala wrote a special kitab 2000 years before, creating the skies and the earth. And in there were these two verses. Allah included them as the concluding verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, a special gift to this ummah that was also given on the night of Mi'raj. Read in a home, shaitan read three nights consecutively. Shaitan does not come near a home. It is from the treasures just beneath the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. It is from the special treasures of Allah Ta'ala's mercies. We're encouraged to learn it, to teach it to our families. It is salah, it is Quran, it is dua at one and the same time, as well as sufficing for a person for deficiencies in optional acts of ibadah, as well as sufficing as a great means of protection from the evil of men as well as jinn. And so we look at the meanings of these two verses, as well as the context within which they were revealed. So Allah Ta'ala says, we look at a brief translation. Firstly, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself has brought firm faith in all that has been revealed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Allah Ta'ala, as well as the believers have also brought firm faith in everything revealed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. All, one and all, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the believers have brought firm, doubtless faith with conviction in Allah, in all His angels, in all Allah's revealed books, in all the messengers of Allah Ta'ala. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِهِ. We do not distinguish between any one of the messengers of Allah. In other words, we believe in all of them as the messengers of Allah. We do not say about any messenger, na'udhu billah, that we do not believe in this one and we believe in that one. No, our ummah, the ummah of complete deen and moderation, we believe in every one of Allah Ta'ala's sent messengers. Waqalu, and they, the believers, and specifically Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, are praised in this verse where Allah Ta'ala narrates and quotes what they say. They say, sami'na wa ata'na, O Allah, we have heard your command, we have obeyed it. Ghufranak, Ya Allah, we ask you your forgiveness. Rabbana, O our Lord and nourisher and sustainer. Wa ilayka al-masir, Our ultimate return and destination is only towards you for day of Qiyamah. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah Ta'ala says further, Allah does not task any being except that which is within the power of a person. Allah Ta'ala does not burden, does not task a person with anything that is out of that person's power. لها ما كسبت. For every being, they will get the benefits of the good deeds that they have done. وعليها ما اكتسبت. But on the other hand, all of those sins that they have perpetrated, the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, will count against them. So in their favor will be their good deeds, and against them will there be sins. And then beautiful du'as thereafter Allah Ta'ala teaches us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O our Lord, our nourisher, sustainer, do not take us to task if we happen to commit a wrong in forgetfulness or erroneously. If we happen to perpetrate a wrong, but it was done unintentionally or in error, then do not take us to task for that, O Allah. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. O Lord and Sustainer, do not put upon us such a burden as you had done with some of the nations before us. So facilitate ease for us in our matters, in our relationship with you, Ya Allah. Do not put that kind of difficulty as were put on previous nations because of their misdeeds and their wrongdoings. And then we say, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. O Allah, do not burden us with that which is not in our control. Do not burden us with that which is not in our control. And then we say, وَعْفُ عَنَّا. O Allah, overlook our faults, our wrongdoings, our sins. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Forgive us. وَارْحَمْنَا. Have mercy upon us. أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. O Allah, you alone our helper. Ya Allah, you alone our master. فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So therefore, you alone do we beseech, O Allah, help us. Help us against the disbelieving people who are the enemies of Islam, who wish the annihilation of Islam. Help us against them, O Allah. And therefore, these are great du'as, and we say after that, Ameen. So in these verses, Allah Ta'ala praises, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praises the believers. Many, many virtues come to the fore. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, firstly, آمن الرسول. Look at the great honor. Allah Ta'ala addresses Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with his honorary title, that the Rasul of Allah, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has brought firm faith in all that Allah wants us to believe in. Allah Ta'ala says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has brought firm faith bima unzila ilayhi, in every single aspect that has been revealed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So whether in the form of the Quran Azim, whether in the form of the Sunnah and the Ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran itself tells us that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not utter any matter from his own side. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. It is through wahi and revelation that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us the other aspects of deen. In fact, the Quran being the Quran can only be understood from hadith. In the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this is the Quran and therefore we believe it in it as the Quran Azim. So be very wary, there is a dangerous trend from certain quarters, rejection, denial, or downplaying the role of the ahadith and the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whereas it's being an authentic proof of deen is proven at many, many junctures of the Quran Azim itself. So to believe in everything that has been revealed in the form of this Quran Azim, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam believes in it, and Allah says, and so do the true believers also believe in it. The true believers also believe in every aspect, and therefore in deen we are not selective. We do not take those injunctions that suit us, deny, reject, downplay or downgrade those things that are not in accordance with our whims and fancies. We believe with yaqeen and certainty in every matter of deen. Yes, if we have practical weaknesses, important that we acknowledge it, we beg Allah forgiveness, but to deny, reject or try and reinterpret or alter the meaning away from what Allah has revealed, that is a very dangerous thing. So here we see, once again, virtue of the believers in general, and the foremost of them, whom the Quran Azim and praises, Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Allah Ta'ala says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the believers, what is their firm faith, their yaqeen, in words similar to what we understand as the imani mufassal, the fundamentals and the basics of iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the believers believe in Allah, in His oneness, in His greatness, that He has no partner. وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ They believe in the angels, that we know the angels are the creation of Allah Ta'ala made from Noor. They are not in need of food and drink. They perpetually are only fulfilling the task delegated to them by Allah. They are perpetually in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. They do not sin or disobey the command. It is not in their nature. وَكُتُبِهِ And they believe in all the books revealed by Allah Ta'ala. The Quran Azim, the Torah, Zabur, Injil, the many scriptures given to the various Anbiya alayhimus salam. We believe in every one of them with absolute yaqeen that these are the revealed words of Allah Ta'ala, but believe in them in the original state as Allah Ta'ala has revealed it. Allah Himself tells us in the Quran Azim that the present Torah, Zabur, Injil, they have brought about many, many man-made changes in it. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَاضِعِهِ So to believe in every kitab of Allah, every revelation to the previous Anbiya alayhimus salam, we believe in every one of them, but in the state revealed by Allah Ta'ala. The Quran Azim is unique. It is the only revealed word of Allah Ta'ala about which Allah has personally taken responsibility of its protection, and therefore it is the only revealed word of Allah that remains in its original pristine state, exactly as revealed by Allah Ta'ala. Speciality of this ummah being the last ummah, the protection of the Quran Azim, authenticated form of writing, but unique to this ummah, this great tradition of hifz, of memorization of the Quran Azim in every generation, as a great means of the protection of the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. So fortunate indeed are those whom Allah uses to protect the physical word of the Quran Azim, those ulama and scholars whom Allah Ta'ala use to protect the meaning of the Quran and its understanding as conveyed by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and as they had conveyed it to the ummah, and similarly heart to heart, generation to generation, in a golden transmission has come down to us. وَرُسُلِهِ They believe in every one of the messengers of Allah Ta'ala. We believe in every Nabi whom Allah Ta'ala had sent as the sent messenger and the servant of Allah Ta'ala. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِهِ We do not distinguish between any one of the messengers of Allah. We do not say, like those who were given the previous scriptures, believing in some of the messengers, rejecting even to the extent of having hatred towards some of the messengers, such as Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. We do not go beyond the limits of belief of elevating a Rasul or a Nabi to being deity worthy of being worshipped. The last and final and the most beloved and the seal of Anbiya alayhimus salam, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But we also believe in all the previous sent messengers, show absolute veneration and respect. You know, a number of years, we had a very good relationship with one of the neighbors around the masjid, and he was a well-wisher to the Muslim community. And he commented, in fact, in writing form, of how he was taken aback by the level of respect that Islam teaches for the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. And he mentions that when I speak to Muslims, they always, even in the instance of taking the name of Sayyidina Isa, they always say, alayhi salam, peace be upon him. So respect takes a person very, very far. So we do not distinguish believing in some and disbelieving in others or hating, na'udhu billah. We love all the messengers of Allah Ta'ala, believe in them as Allah Ta'ala sent messengers and the servants of Allah Ta'ala. Obviously, the most distinguished, most lofty, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالُوا Allah Ta'ala here praises Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in specifically. Allah Ta'ala says that they say, we have heard the command of Allah, we obey it. Ya Allah, we ask you your forgiveness. And O Allah, unto you only is our ultimate return. Now, the context of the revelation of this verse has to be understood to understand from this point onwards to the next ayah and the last portion of this verse. In the ayah preceding these two verses, Allah Ta'ala says, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Everything in the skies and earth belongs to Allah. It is His creation. He executes His will in it as He wishes. And then Allah Ta'ala also said, وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ وَتُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ If you make apparent what is in your hearts, your inner selves, or you conceal it, Allah Ta'ala will take you to hisab. Allah Ta'ala will take you to task. Now when this verse was revealed, Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in became extremely worried. What was the cause of worry and concern? They understood up to now that a person will only be taken to task for those deeds done intentionally, voluntarily. But from the surface of this verse, the superficial meaning, it could also give off the meaning that you would be taken to task for involuntary thoughts that may cross the mind and heart. So extremely worried that this is not in our control. How will we be taken to task for this? They came and expressed this great anxiety and worry to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Does this mean that we will also be taken to task for actions and specifically for thoughts that involuntarily come to a person's mind and heart without intention, without entertaining them? Will we be taken to task for this as well? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them that, look, this is the word of Allah Ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not answer to their query, hoping and awaiting wahi and revelation that Allah would send. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them that all you should say, do not become like those previous nations. When the Nabi conveyed, they said, sami'na wa asayna, we listen, but we cannot comprehend, we disobey you. Rather, you should say, sami'na wa ata'na, that we have heard and we have obeyed. And subhanAllah, salient feature of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, exactly as commanded, immediately, without hesitation, lend themselves entirely to the command of Allah, and they said this, sami'na wa ata'na, we have heard the command of Allah, we obey. Ghufranak, wa Allah, forgive us our shortcomings, for ultimately our return is only unto you. Belief in the day of Qiyamah established in this verse. Just as an instance prior to the battle of Badr, with all the odds stacked against them, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to see their resilience and they understand. So they say to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that do whatever you have to do. This is prior to the battle of Badr. Remember, we will not say to you like the Bani Israel said to Musa alayhi salam when they were promised the victory over a city, all they were asked was to wage jihad. They said, you and your Allah go and fight. We are scared of these people. We are sitting put where we are. You and your Allah go and fight. Sahaba said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will not say to you like that. We will rather say, fight in the name of Allah, and we stand with you at every step of the way. Subhanallah, what great virtue, Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, that Allah here quotes the words with which they had responded. And true to their sincerity, Allah then revealed the following verse to alleviate this anxiety and worry, where Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That no, what is implied in that verse, that you will be taken to task of that which is done intentionally, with volition, intentionally. However, those thoughts, that just as in actions, a person does an act in total forgetfulness. We have the month of Ramadan, a person during fast forgetfully, completely forgets that one is in a state of fast and eats or drinks anything, that will not nullify, it will not break the fast. So just as in action, similarly, thoughts, beliefs, that a person, obviously those that are in our control, intention to believe with yaqeen, conviction, the correct beliefs of the heart, that is incumbent. But involuntary, unintentional thoughts that now and again cross the mind, and a person, if it is in contradiction to Sharia, a person does not entertain, a person rather turns one mind away and turns it to Allah Ta'ala. Similarly, the diseases of the heart, pride, arrogance, doing things for name, fame and show, they do not entertain those kind of thoughts. So any thought that crosses the mind unintentionally or in error, they will not be taken to task for that. This verse conveyed this great glad tidings. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. To emphasize the point, Allah says that for every being, every person will count in one's favor all the deeds of obedience done to Allah. وَعَلَيْهَا مَكْتَسَبَتْ. But those sins perpetrated against the command of Allah Ta'ala will count against a person, obviously, if tawbah and repentance was not done from them. And then beautiful du'as are taught to us by Allah Ta'ala, and we access these du'as abundantly, month of Ramadan, month when du'as are readily accepted by Allah. What beautiful all-encompassing du'as Allah Ta'ala teaches. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O Lord, never take us to task for anything that we do in absolute forgetfulness, unintentionally, أو أخطأنا, or it happens erroneously from our side, Ya Allah, do not take us to task for that. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. O Allah, do not put that kind of burden and extreme difficulty upon us that you had placed on some of the previous nations, and that was because of their own misdeeds, their continuous objecting to disobeying the command of Allah Ta'ala. For example, Bani Israel and others before, when they went to extreme limits in arrogance towards the commands of Allah, Allah made things difficult for them. So for example, some of their commands, if clothing would become impure, the only way it would be purified is by burning it or cutting off that piece of clothing. Allah has made easy for us. We wash it thoroughly a number of times and it becomes spark, it becomes pure. In previous nations, when they would commit a guna or a sin, then the name of the sinner with the sin committed would appear at a public place in the morning. Allah has given us this great option of tawbah and repentance and begging Allah Ta'ala forgiveness. With some of them, because of some misdeeds, the punishment was to be put to death, whereas Allah Ta'ala, except in those matters where Shariat has given such directives, generally we have the facility of tawbah, of repentance, of begging Allah Ta'ala forgiveness. So our Sharia, Allah Ta'ala has granted us great ease in comparison to previous. So we make this dua, O Allah, do not put upon us that burden similar to that which you had put on those who were before us. Rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bih. O Allah, never put as a burden upon us, as a difficulty upon us, that which is out of our control, which we cannot bear, which we cannot sustain. Never put such a condition upon us that is out of our control. And in the present circumstances, what an appropriate dua to read. Rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bih. In other words, Ya Allah, do not put such punishment, such condition upon us that are out of our control. And then concluding, wa'afu anna, O Allah, forgive us. Waghfir lana, wa'afu anna, O Allah, overlook our many, many sins. Waghfir lana, forgive us our sins, Ya Allah. Some opine that wa'afu anna pertains to major sins, waghfir lana to minor sins. Warhamna, O Allah, have mercy upon us. Some commentators expound it even further. Wa'afu anna, O Allah, overlook our many, many sins and do not punish us like you have done some of those that they were transfigured into the shapes of animals. Waghfir lana, O Allah, save us from the punishment like that of Qarun, of being swallowed into the belly of the earth alive. Warhamna, and Allah, have mercy upon us. Do not punish us by drowning as you had done with the nation of Nuh alayhi salam, as you had done with Fir'aun and his armies. But they are general forgiveness of sins. And again, such beautiful words we can access in our many, many du'as in Ramadan. Wa'afu anna, O Allah, forgive us. Wa'afu anna, overlook our many, many sins, Ya Allah. Waghfir lana, forgive us. Warhamna, shower your special mercy upon us. Anta maulana. O Allah, you are our master, you are our Lord. Ya Allah, you alone are our great helper and protector. Fansurna. So therefore, O Allah, we beg of you, Ya Allah, help us against the disbelieving nations and especially those who are the enemies of Islam. We say Ameen to these du'as. We try and access the benefits of these two great verses. As we have looked at the many virtues and the merits, we conclude inshallah with some reading from the Kitab Shauqi Watan, the desire for the Akhirah. We are looking at the chapter where Allah will grant comfort and ease to the believers in the plains of Qiyamah. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يحشر الناس يوم القيامة ثلاثة أصناف صنف مشاة وصنف ركبان وصنف على وجوههم الحديث رواه الترمذي. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people will come to Mahshar, the plane of resurrection, on the day of Qiyamah into three groupings. One group will come walking, another even better will come riding, but another group will come being dragged on their faces. The commentators have said, obviously dragged on their faces, disbelievers, that those walking will be the general believers who have done many good deeds but also mixed it with some sins. And those riding on a high status with honor and dignity are those who are complete in the iman, perpetually and mostly obedient to Allah Ta'ala. The hadith that follows thereafter, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a lengthy hadith, but this is the important part pertinent to our topic. The first person to be clothed on the day of Qiyamah will be Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. In liberation, it is said, the accepted ones will rise from their graves in a state of undress, but they will be given the kafan, the shrouds, to wear to cover themselves. They will be then transported on she camels to the grounds of Mahshar. The wearing of these clothes, as stated in the hadith, is related to divine robes of honor and the dress of Jannah that will be given to the chosen group to wear. So one of the blessings of Iman is that it will be a means of being clothed as speedily as possible. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to value the ni'm of Iman in Islam and grant us and facilitate this many forms of ease in the Qabr and Akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.